All right, let's look at the Scarborough group. So we'll start off with Keystone 0-3, minus 41. They brought in that 97-208 class, replacing the 103 73 class. They lost Benjamin Thompson, their center, and they're playing Conrad Brown, who is struggling a little bit. I mean, Reese Thompson is a good player, 24.7 points per game on 73.4% true shooting. They got some talent for sure, but they've went 0-3. You look at their games, they lost to Inglewood by 3 in overtime. They get smoked by Albuquerque, and they get beat pretty bad by Philadelphia. Next up, they have Carbondale. Carbondale's a pretty tough team, but they're only 1-2. So they've played some tough teams. We'll see if they can do it. And then they got Lansing. They're 3-0. That's going to be a tough game. And then they got Joplin to finish it out. I think they can get one of these three games, maybe two. I think it's going to be really tough to get the Lansing game. But, it really hurt when they got that bad freshman class. And, you know, that you count on getting at least one playable player. And Conrad Brown's just been struggling. He's only got 7 rebounds in 30 minutes. He's only got 3 points, 1.7 assists. He hasn't gotten a steal, only 1.7 blocks. He's turned it over 4 times a game, which is just a little rough. So, yeah, that's that. Joplin, they brought in that 53-68 class, replacing the 168-152 class. They did start one senior. He was their leading scorer, Gabriel Walker. But they got a bunch of guys that were big that have great percentage numbers shooting at power forwards and centers. So they started Hunter Shapiro and Malik Bennett. Malik Bennett was a 2-2 tie that Joplin won. He's been playing okay, 16 points per game. They're really balanced. You know, everyone's kind of chipping in a little bit, scoring a little bit. But they lost one game, so they're 2-1, which is pretty good. They lost to Inglewood by 14, but they beat Albuquerque by 4. That's a nice win, and then they beat Yonkers by 18, which will give them a little leeway in the point differential column. Shreveport is their next game. They're 2-1. Be a little tough game, but I think they could beat Shreveport or at least keep it close. And then you got Austin. That is a game that they're 3-0. They're playing hot. They're playing really well. It's going to be a tough game to win. They got some talent on their team. And then they got Keystone to finish it out. You should get a win against Keystone. They're looking okay for the cheesecloth, but it's really how much do you win the game versus Keystone, and can you steal one of the games versus Austin and Shreveport? If you can't, you don't make it via the cheesecloth. If you can, you got a really good shot. So you got that. The other 2-1 team is Albuquerque. They brought in that 9-6 class headlined by Cole Martin, and Cole Martin is just playing incredible. 31.3 points per game on 61.3% true shooting, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1.7 turnovers. Just playing outrageous. They lost that game to Joplin, but then they beat Keystone by 24. Nice one. And then they beat Utica by 8. So next up, you got Montpelier, Hot Springs, and then Inglewood. You look at the Montpelier and Hot Springs games, you got to win those, because if you don't win those, you put yourself at risk of missing the cheesecloth based on basically you got to win 2 of those 3, right? Inglewood's going to be tough to win. Montpelier, they're 2-1, decent team, not horrible. Hot Springs, they're 0-3. You got to win that one, right? You just got to win. They're not that bad because they came within a bucket of beating Jefferson City. They did lose by 18 to Greensboro, which is a tough loss for them. But then they only lost to New Orleans by 9 points, so Hot Springs does have that 1-1 sophomore class with J.R. Broomspa, Evan Williams, and Austin Smith. So, I mean, they're a good team. They're going to be a tough team to match up against. We'll see if Albuquerque has it in them. But you got to win that game against Hot Springs, who's 0-3. And if you can win the game versus Hot Springs and versus Montpelier, I mean, just don't get blown out by Inglewood and you'll be fine. Speaking of Inglewood, Inglewood's hot right now, right? They are led by their senior class and Brandon Rigsby, 17.3 points a game. Zachary Robinson is playing like a little rough as a point guard. you know, only shooting 39%. He's shooting a ton of threes, not making a ton, but they're playing excellent defense, and that's what's winning them games, right? They won by 3 versus Keystone, a little closer than it should be. Then they beat Joplin by 14, and then they beat New York City by 21. So they seem like they're getting better and better. That Keystone win is a little concerning that it went to overtime, but they were able to pull out the victory. Next up, Rockford. Tough game. That's going to be a tough game. But try and keep it close. Try and keep it close with that 1-1 senior class of Dougie Champ, Bryce Cheatham, and Trevor Jackson. And then you got St. Martinsville. You beat St. Martinsville by a good portion, right? So right now, Englewood's plus 38. You beat St. Martinsville, you're going to be fine. You're not going to miss the tournament, even if you do lose to Albuquerque. But you beat Albuquerque, you win the group. It's pretty simple as that. St. Martinsville is not a great team. They're 0-3. They're getting beat pretty bad in all their games, except for their loss to Austin, who is also 0-3. But they've played tough teams too. Ann Arbor, 3-0. They beat them by almost 50, 46 points. They lost to Rockford by 22. So you look at that, and that's kind of what's going on for Englewood. I like Englewood, though. They should have no problem making it. Albuquerque and Joplin, we'll see. I think one of those will make it, probably Albuquerque. I think Joplin has some work to do, but I think they could do it. So that's the Scarborough group. And let's go down to the Campbell group. In the Campbell group, we talked a little bit about them, but Hot Springs, they're 0-3. They've lost every game, but they've played a tough schedule, right? Jefferson City, New Orleans, Greensboro. Greensboro is one of those ones where it's like, huh. The schedule gets a little easier. You got Glendale, who they're a solid team, but they've lost a lot of players, right? You got Albuquerque, 2-1, and then you got Atlantic City, who, solid team, you know, but not. I think you're more talented than them is Hot Springs. So you're not going to make the playoffs, but can you make things respectable? Can you finish this tournament 3-3 or 2-4? I think 2-4 would be a great start for them, especially with a really tough schedule coming up. So you should beat Atlantic City, split the games versus Albuquerque and Glendale, and you're looking a lot better going into the season. Speaking of Glendale, Glendale's 1-2. They lost their 82-32 class, headlined by David Campbell and Lewis Jackson. That's tough. And they replaced it with a 170-94 class. Daniel Myers, their star player. So he's been playing. He's scoring 20.7 points a game. Not greatly efficient. They kind of went with a defensive model and kind of go for two guys, James Moore and Daniel Meyer, really carrying the load. It doesn't seem like it's been working amazingly for them. It's hard when you have two guys that really carry the ball and carried your scoring for the last 4 years. How do you figure out a new team? How do you figure out what works? They're scoring 61.3 points per game. Their home team's at 66.7. So that's tough. But, you know, you scored 42 against Jefferson City. You're not going to win doing that, you know. Next up, you got Austin, Huntsville, Hot Springs. I think the playoffs is out of the question. You have to win all three of them. You could, but Austin's 3-0. Huntsville, you know, they're a Sweet 16 team from last year. Pretty good. Could happen, right? They didn't lose any senior, or they lost one senior, their freshman point guard. So, yeah, you gotta win that game. I mean, you know, for Glendale, it's about staying respectable and fighting back, trying to keep things close, right? So let's look at the top two teams, two 2-1 teams, Jefferson City and Greensboro. Jefferson City, 2-1 plus 9. They lost by 9 to Ocala. That's a tough loss. Next up, they got Branson, Montpelier, Greensboro. Greensboro will save them for later. Branson is 1-2, lost big to a couple teams, beat Odessa. You got to win that game if you're Jefferson City. Montpelier, they're 2-1. They just lost by 3 to Shreveport. closer games. That's a rivalry game. That one could go either way. They got Brandon Percy and Freeman Tyson really carrying the load for them. Looking at Jefferson City, Ryan Hawk has stepped in as a freshman. They got good classes, right? Alan Crispin, he can score 52.7% true shooting. They're not shooting the greatest. They're keeping the scores low, but they're going to have to figure some stuff out. They got some talent. You just got to figure out how to use it. But they're 2-1, not a terrible schedule. And it's probably going to come down to that Greensboro game. I mean, maybe both teams get in via the cheesecloth, but, you know, it's going to be hard. Neither team has a great plus-minus right now. You got to blow out one of those teams, basically, if you want to secure a cheesecloth, because +9 is not going to do it. And then Greensboro, they're +16. So they're only 4 away from getting that cheesecloth number, but they brought in that 57-44 class, replacing the 52-85 class. I'll take that all day. You lose a guy like Tanner Salgado, you are a decent team, one of the top seeds, one of the first teams out based in the tournament last year, one of the first like 8 teams. They brought in 2 20-point scorers and then a 14.9-point per game score. You look at who's playing for them. Shrek's playing. He's scoring 13.7 on not super efficient, but you're figuring it out. And then off the bench, you got Zielinski and Gilmore. So they got some talent. They got Augusta. Augusta's a really good team. They got a lot of talent on that team. They've only lost one game to Lansing, and Lansing's a really good team. So that's going to be a big game. And then you have Little Rock. You should beat Little Rock. Little Rock should be a win. And then you got Jefferson City. So, like I said, it's going to come down to that Jefferson City game. You beat Little Rock by a lot of points, and you put yourself in a really good spot for getting a cheesecloth. You'd still have to beat Jefferson City, but, like, even if you don't win the group, 4-2, 20. So, yeah, so that's kind of what we got for the Campbell group. I'll do one more group here. So we'll go down to the Dixon group. So we got Yonkers and Ocala not looking good. Yonkers is 0-3 minus 31. They brought in that 157-175 class, replacing the 193-178 class. And you look at their games, they lost to Yakima by 3. They lost to Joplin by 18. They lost to Phoenix by 10. Tough games versus tough teams. Next up, it doesn't get easier. You get Boise. Then you get a rivalry game against Yuma, and it gets a little better versus Ocala. Yonkers, you know, the team, they were in the NTT last year, solid, but they lost one senior starter who was playing decent for them, Carl Smith. So you bring back 4 starters. You try and put Dominic Doster in there, and he's doing okay, but it's just tough, right? It's a tough thing. You're gonna probably lose to Boise. They're really good. If you can split the Yuma Ocala games, you're in a good spot. So do that. Ocala, they're 1-2. They beat Jefferson City. That was a nice one for them. They lost by 22 to Yakima and 22 to Phoenix. And those two are the class. They've put themselves in quite a hole, but their next 3 games are fairly easy, comparatively, at least. Carnegie, they're 1-2. They're a beatable team. They're good. Don't get me wrong. They were an NTT team last year. But they also lost 2 starters from that team, so they're breaking in a couple freshmen who are doing okay. But you could beat them for sure. That's going to be a tough one. And then, I mean, you could beat them. They're good. Odessa's 0-3. You got to win that game. They're good, too. They've played close games in every game. But none of these teams, you look at them on the schedule and you're like, oh, gosh, that's a loss. I can't win. So for Ocala, you'd have to have quite a point differential to make the peanut, especially with minus 32 as your plus minus right now. But if you can do that, minus 33, sorry. Phoenix and Yakima are good. Phoenix, really good team. They brought that 38-35 class, replacing the 10-26 class. It's tough. You lose a couple seniors who played start minutes, ish. Quincy Thompson played probably the most, but you didn't lose any debilitating players from that. You're starting John Felton. You're starting Seamus Spratt, trying to figure it out. Seamus Spratt hasn't been playing. I mean, his game score is really, really low. He's only played one. So he's only played one game. So I don't know if they're really starting him. He's trying a lot of different things, right? Thomas Cash playing really well as a senior. 13 rebounds, 18 points, 60% from the field. Sammy Pearson. Phoenix is really good. So they got Huntsville, New Orleans, and Yakima. So you only have to win one of them. But these are really good teams. Huntsville, NTT team from last year that lost one starter. They're 1-2. So that's the game where it's like, okay, you kind of got to win that. Because next up, you got New Orleans. New Orleans is 3-0. They're rolling, right? They're really good. they're ranked number one right now. And then Yakima, always good year in, year out. They were an Elite Eight team last year. They're 3-0 right now. So tough schedule for Phoenix. But Yakima, all three of those games are winnable for them. They're good enough to win them. And they just have to win one, in my opinion. If they win more than one, they have a really good shot at winning the group. Because, yeah. So Yakima, their schedule, a little easier, right? They have Culver City. They have Clemson. Clemson is a good team. They brought in that 10-1 class. They're 3-0. That's a tough game. Culver City. So you look, they're 0-3. Overall, I would say Yakima's schedule is a little easier, but they're both really hard. So, yeah, one of these teams is going to win four games, right? The question is are two of them going to win four games? And they're both good enough to win. They're both good enough to go 5-0 going into that game on Friday. So, should be interesting. Yakima's playing really well. They got that 22-32 class, which replaced the 40-45 class. They did lose William Hamby and Jesus Dixon, but they replaced them with Anthony Linder. So Linder's playing pretty good, 6.7 assists, one steal, two turnovers. He's playing well. It'll be really interesting to see how that game goes on Friday. I think it decides a lot for them. So both teams, I like that. You know, you got two 3-0 teams that are really good, and we'll see if they can pull it off. But I think I'm going to give the slight edge to Yakima just based on NTT success and historical success. But Phoenix is every bit as good as them, and they can go head-to-head with them anytime they want. Jay Paul's got a squad, and they're going to be dangerous for anyone once they make the PNTT playoffs, as I think both these teams will. Okay, well, that is it. I've done three different groups. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it, and I will talk to you later.